to another week of the Fertility Freak Podcast. My name is Michelle Tillman, your fertility expert and educator. And this week I have something special. Y'all always want to hear from the men. And today I have my first bold man of faith who is going to come here and just share what the Lord has done in him and his wife's life. And I'll let him kind of tell a little bit about himself. But today we're really going to be talking about what is a husband's role in the fertility journey and how can he lead his wife? Because I know a lot of you may feel like you're the one pushing for this. And so I want you to tune in because Antonia, our guest tonight, has lots of wisdom about what the Lord has done for them. And I believe that you're going to really be able to take some good notes from this. Okay, so Antonio, tell me a little bit about you and Robin. Tell me a little bit about your story, what God has done, and then we'll just go from there.
First off, thank you, Michelle, for inviting me to the show. And most importantly, I thank God for being here. Well, me and my wife Robin's story is it started in 2016, and we met at a wrestling show. And I was contemplating going back to being a pro wrestler because I was there. And also a Navy veteran for 8 years. But we met each other. I sat in her seat, but even though it was the wrong seat, it was the right seat. Because now we've been married for over 7 years. And this year we have our new daughter, Kenya Faith, who's in NICU right now. She is our blessing. She is our prayer answer. And it's just been a long journey. And we've been learning about each other. We've been learning about patience and just trusting in God. Everything.
So tell me a little bit about your journey of trying to get pregnant. What are the things that you guys went through as far as trying to initially get pregnant from the beginning?
Well, what we first tried, we went to Prague and everything. We tried to go to do IVF at first, and that took a couple of months. But I thought we were getting close, but it didn't work out. But we still were praying, and we still were faithful because God told us that he was going to have that child. So it's when he wanted it. And we started with Prague, and then we went to Charleston to a clinic there. And then after that, we were kind of burnt out from the IVF and going to the doctors. And the best thing we did was give up. We gave up to God, and he turned it around. And I know around March 2024, I was praying for it, and I know my wife was praying for it, and the Lord answered us, and he said that by the end of this year, you'll have a child. And this was in March 2025. We had another part where I was an elder at the church, and I also had to get off of debt because I was spending more time trying to help out families, and God was putting me away so that I could focus on this new family we have now. So months go by, and October comes around. We go on a cruise to the Bahamas and everything. And after this cruise, we find out that Robin has been pregnant since October 1st, even before we got on that doggone cruise. So that was amazing. I mean, I was like, what? She came back with 4 pregnancy tests, and it was all positive. And I was like, okay, well, there it is.
I love that. That's so good. I remember when she said, I need to book a call with you. And I was like, what is she booking a call for? And then Holy Spirit just snitched. And he was like, 'cause she's pregnant. And I was like, I knew it. So when y'all came on the call, y'all was acting all calm. I was like, nah, they pregnant. I remember that so vividly. I remember that. Okay. So, all right. I'm going to get into some of the questions that I have that I know that a lot of the women who are listening want to know. Thank you so much for sharing us, you know, kind of giving us a little perspective of what you've been through. It's so amazing to even hear, like, we had IVF and it did not work. And then you still ended up getting pregnant naturally. And I love that. So tell me, what does it mean for faithful leadership, like to you, in the context of supporting your wife through fertility struggles?
Well, as man of God, it doesn't mean you're free from struggles. But it just means that I have a sword when my struggles come around. And I know during the contractions and everything, I couldn't physically calm my wife down, but we stayed heavy in prayer, and I wanted to hold her hand just so she'll know that I'm there. And with all this going on, because I'm still working from the hospital and going to meetings, and I'm still there just trying to keep her supported. But God, he kept our mindsets strong, because it wasn't easy. It was not easy. We kept praying and we kept being faithful, and he got us through it each day at a time.
So how would you say that while y'all were still waiting to get pregnant, like when you didn't know, like you heard from God about when it was going to happen, like she'd be pregnant before the end of the year. How did you lead her like in that time when you didn't know when it was going to happen and you were just waiting for it to happen?
Shoot, I mean, I had told her about it, and she had told her, well, your mother actually found us and in the church and running on the high heels and everything and had us find you. So I was like, okay, it's probably part of the process.
So you had already heard from God, and then that happened, and you were like, oh, okay.
Because it's already part of the process. It's just not going to look like how we wanted to get done. And so we met you. And we learned phone calls, we listened to like what not to eat and everything. And my wife was listening to God. He was telling her to drink water, eight ounces of water an hour or something. And I was just sitting there waiting, and I'm just getting kind of impatient, but I'm like, it's almost the end of the year. It's almost not November, God, what's going on? But you stay faithful. She's dealing with everything. She's dealing with work. She's dealing with her stresses, because this is the first time baby for her. This is a first time experience for both of us. So we both are making our own path. And we don't know where the road, we know where we want the road to end, but we don't know when it's going to end. But we have got on the right road now, and we're on interstate, baby.
I know that's right. I love it. I love it. So how do you think back when, if you could picture back to when you said you guys went to, I think, maybe two different IVF places, like how did your beliefs or your faith influence when you were doing fertility treatments versus like trying natural? I know you, I heard you say earlier that you kind of just, you know, gave up and that was the best thing that you ever did. But how did your faith or your beliefs influence like that decision?
Well, it's a process that God was taking us to. And he was speaking to my wife also. I mean, so we both had to agree on that. And we went through the process. And throughout that process, it did open our eyes to some new things, like some different types of medical issues that would have came up that we didn't know about. But we were able to get those solved. So that opened the door up so the baby could come better. Because if we didn't walk that path that he wanted us to walk, it would have been another medical issue. Another year down the road. But it's best to be obedient, because if you want the reward, obedience is better than sacrifice.
Oof. That's so good, because some people would not pull from that IVF failed experience, that you had to have that happen in order for your natural conception later to happen. That's so good, Antonio. Thank you for sharing that. Tell me about like some of the most difficult times that you might have had or Robin may have had. And how did you support her like during her darkest times during this journey?
Well, I would say the darkest time was it was in the hospital, because if you've ever been in the hospital before, you know they don't let you sleep. So that's what I mean. And then I'm dealing with my job and I'm trying to stay employed because I'm trying to negotiate with my boss to try and keep my job and everything while I'm in the hospital. So that was stressful on me, because I want to be the man that supports my family. And I'm trying to support her at the same time, because when she was in there, she had some tears and shooting the needles and the different chemicals. That was just taking up to left, to right, lack of sleep. I mean, that we just had to stay faithful and just keep on moving and pray by the minute.
And when you say in the hospital, I know that you guys have a unique situation because Kenya Faith is in the NICU, and I love seeing the updates and things. Are you talking about when she was in hospital, when she was delivering, or like hospital visits whenever y'all were going through IVF?
Oh, it was actually when she started getting contractions after she was pregnant, because she went on appointments, I think like every other week. And then we had that one week where it was the week and the child came early. And yeah, I was scared about that, because I'm like, I was just praying. I'm like, Lord, this child got to live. You told me this child is going to live. And I trust in that. And I know my wife was praying too, because that little child was moving. So I'm like, if she going to come out, she going to come out alive. She already a fighter. She is a fighter from the beginning. And so we have to fight, because she's not giving up.
Right.
And we can conquer anything we need to with God.
Right. Can you think of, if you would talk to the person who's not pregnant yet, to the couple who's not pregnant yet, can you think about any times that were truly difficult, depressing, anxious before she was pregnant, and how you walked her through that as the leader of your house? How were you able to help her navigate, or you guys together navigate, after a failed IVF? Because sometimes you go into it thinking, oh, we're going to pay this money, it's going to work. And like, how did you even navigate after that, you know, supporting each other and supporting her?
Well, that's just it. I mean, we had to go back to God, because he's the source. And even though we cried our tears and everything else, and we thought that it wasn't going to happen, I mean, we still had to stay faithful. And we had to stay faithful in our walk, and we stayed faithful in practicing. We knew it was going to happen. We just didn't know when. Because I know God's promises are yes and amen. And when he told me, it's going to happen. So I told her, we're going to keep trying, and it's going to happen. So we're going to work it out till we get to the finish line.
I love that. Because you said something, that we had to stay faithful in our walk regardless. Because a lot of times when you get disappointed like that, it's very easy to just stray away from your daily practices, whether it be your prayer, your worship. Like, you can get numb, or to a point where you don't even want to pray. Like, you don't want to go to church. You don't want to pray. You don't read your Bible, because you're mad. So I love how you said, and another thing I heard you say is that we cried. You didn't say she cried. We cried. And I think what you said without saying is that as a leader, that you had to be in touch with your emotions as well to support each other. And I think that might be one of the things that makes it hard for women, is because we don't see our husbands like maybe emotionally reacting as much as we think they should. And so that might make us feel like, well, dang, I guess I'm the only one over here struggling. But I love how you say we cried, but we decided that our walk with Christ was not going to change. And I love that. And I think that's probably one of the things that even as you came on the calls every week, that we all saw the leader in you, and it encouraged so many of the women. So what advice would you give to another husband who is in the same place as you. Maybe they feel like they heard God say they're definitely going to have a baby, but maybe they're just feeling discouraged. What advice would you give to him?
Well, I would just say, always trust in God. And about the last statement, I know most men, I mean, they try to be the rock in their family and try to be strong for their wife, but we have emotions. Mm. We human beings. But let your wife understand that, because this is the life partner. This is your spouse. This is your wife that you took vows with. So let her know 100% of your emotions. Mm-hmm. I mean, because once you're on the same page, then you can grow. Because some people like to say it's 50-50. No, I say it's 100-100. So be 200% with each other. Always be honest. Because a lie could make everything die, but the truth will always set you free. And be willing to listen. Because if you listen to her, instead of trying to solve the problems, then you can actually help with the problems. Because sometimes my wife just wanted me to listen to her. And I know I was always trying to be a problem solver because the military mindset, like, I can do this. But listening, just being a comforter.
That's so good, because I think men are naturally wired to want to solve problems for their families. Like you said, maybe sometimes as soon as you hear something, maybe you tune out and go into problem solving mode versus sometimes that we just need someone to just listen. Snap. I love that. That's really good. Okay. So how did you balance supporting Robin, but also managing your own feelings and your concerns about y'all's fertility journey?
Well, sometimes I knew she was in the hospital and I knew she was in good care. So I came home, I prayed. And I just trusted in God. I mean, I had conversations in the car with him, conversations at home with him. And yeah, I had to listen to some motivational speeches and everything to just keep me going. Because if I can keep myself going, I can keep her going. Because we've had different situations in our marriage where we were tested. Like when we first got married, my wife had surgery. And there was some... Yeah, it was a scary surgery, but still had to push on through because I knew I had to be strong for her because she's not fully herself this time. And I have to be the pillar of strength for her. So I had to go away and I had to have my peace time in order to rejuvenate myself, in order to rejuvenate her when I came back.
Wow. So what I hear you saying is that you made sure your tank was full, that your faith was full, that you watch your motivation. You said, I talked to God two different places. So key to the husbands listening, like Antonio said, make sure you are talking to God, because how can you refill and refuel your wife if you are empty? Come on, sir. You in here preaching. I love it. So what do you think that doctors or healthcare providers, like when y'all were still trying to get pregnant, how do you think that they could have helped supported you better as the husband, like during the process, again, before y'all got pregnant?
I mean, the education, it's always education that we need in order to get through these dark times. Because when we come in here, we could be the first, well, this is our first child. We need more information because we see on TV what happens and we see on YouTube or whatever what happens. But when it's in your face, it's a whole lot of different emotions that come with it. And you may think you're going to be able to take it, but then something will come out there and just make you fall over. You just always got to be ready for the unexpected. But cling to God. Because he knows what's going to happen. He already wrote the book of you already. Because everybody got a New Testament. And there's a part of the New Testament of Antonio, and he's still writing the New Testament of Michelle, and he's still writing the New Testament of everybody who's on this call. So just cling to him. I mean, it's like how I used to say in high school, hey, the answers are in it's an open book test. The answers are in the back of the book.
Did you just start taking your basal body temperature, but you're struggling to remember to take it every morning at the same time? I get it. And that's why I'm recommending to you Temp Drop. I send it to all of my clients because it's actually a wearable sensor and you sleep with it. So you can track your temperatures effortlessly, even if you have an irregular schedule or a restless night. Don't worry about it if you're snoozing your alarm too much. No stress. You're just going to get the accurate data from Temp Drop. So I want you to go to tempdrop.com, use code AFFertilityFreak for 15% off. This is going to make charting so much easier for you and consistent. Again, that's tempdrop.com and use code AFFertilityFreak for 15% off. Are you tired of waiting months for a doctor's appointment or even worse, begging your doctor for more answers? Sis, I see you. And I want you to remember that faith without works is dead. So let me give you some work to start right now. This is why I love the Prove Complete Fertility Testing System, because it's going to empower you to take action. Like right now, go ahead and order this, because not only is it going to help you find your 6 fertile days, it's going to confirm ovulation more than just an LH strip, okay, and uncover what's really going on with your hormones. They give you a complete report once you're done with this test to let you know exactly what all of your hormones are doing and then what you need to do about it. This is all from home in just 10 minutes a day. Matter of fact, this is exactly what I ship all of my clients so that they can get quick answers without waiting on their doctor. So I want you to visit provetest.com and use code Fertility Freak for 15% off. That's provetest.com. And that's code Fertility Freak for 15% off. Let's partner our prayers with the plan and try smarter with Proof. I saw a comment from Robin. She said, education for sure. That would have helped us from the doctors, but we got it with Michelle. So I think that you pointed out something good. A lot of times when you're going through the try to conceive journey, trying to get pregnant, there's so many things that no one ever taught you about fertility, about trying to get pregnant. And so you just kind of assume that it will happen. And then when it doesn't, there's so much things that like you have to be educated on and then change your mindset. Like, oh, I know so-and-so got pregnant 600 pounds eating McDonald's, but I'm not going to be able to do that. And so it's really hard to reshape all like, well, I gotta do this, well, I gotta do that. And it can get really discouraging if you don't know how crucial like some basic education can be on the journey.
Another thing, if you got a job, you got to have somebody who is there to fill out that doggone, that I think it's the pregnancy leave form. You got it?
Oh.
Because it's a big stack of paper Robin had to fill out. And I'm glad that the Lord had on mine right, but that was a whole stack of paper to get that doggone fertility leave.
Mm.
I wish they would shrink that up or get a help or something, but that's something else you got to worry about, like if, with your job, if they offer that.
Wow. Yeah, that's definitely important, because that's a part of the stress of all this, because it's not just, okay, the fact that I can't get pregnant. It's so many loops and hoops and things you got to jump through to even get support. If you do have a job that does support you with your fertility, that so many things you have to do to, you know, make sure everything is flowing and the process is moving. So thank you for sharing that. Let's see. So can you think of a specific ritual or practice that you did to continue to keep yourself hopeful that one day that you will be praying? Like you said, you heard God. So I'm assuming you already had like some type of flow of how you spend time with God. But is there anything particular in your time with God or your personal time that you did that kind of helped you have more hope even when you didn't know when exactly y'all would get pregnant?
Well, for one thing, I pray to God, but also in the morning, every morning we pray with each other. And at nighttime, we pray with each other. So we make sure that we cover any fears that we may have. And I know on Saturday, sometimes I go in the room, or in the weekdays, I go, or Robert go into the front room and she do a Bible study. But we listen to God. We look for the word. We look for what needs to happen today. And that's a ritual. You pray with your spouse. They are there with you. I mean, you became one. Two became one. But the relationship holds three because God is in there.
That is really, that's so important. I think that's something that sometimes we don't see the how huge that can be. It's literally you're coming to create a family together, and that time together is literally what can make the make or break. Like people always when they come to me, my goal is to show them what I feel like might be blocking their fertility. And sometimes it's the lack of bonding with their spouse. Like they're essentially doing it on their own. And sometimes that alone, them not being on one accord spiritually, can be a block to, and not that God is like dangling it over their head, but sometimes it's just when you're not on one accord, like it's hard for things to flourish when the husband and wife are not on one accord. So that's really good, praying together. Okay, so I have a few more questions for you. What do you think was the most beneficial or impactful advice that you got while working with me?
I don't think it's just one thing. I mean, every week it was something new that we never heard of before. And I know we got to call you and we never, it's just, like I said, the education and the information, because it's a lot of people out here who are not being bold enough to come to an educational course like this, and they're missing out. I mean, we see so many doggone people in the hospital that's pregnant and they don't know what to do. And we were God-led. I know I already told you this before. We were God-led to you. But I mean, I'm just hoping that more people get into it, because they may be getting pregnant and they get scared, and then they might want to get rid of the baby or have it adopted, even at the hospital and all that. I mean, it's just different things with your body we learn. I mean, a lot of stuff. I mean, I didn't know it was a free biology class. You got it. It's just a whole lot of things that we didn't know that we were blind to, and now our eyes are open to it.
Mm.
It makes everything easier because you always got to have a support, meaning you are a support. The group on here, they were support. And I mean, y'all even came to our house and everything. Prayed over us and everything. Because I told my wife, I said, yeah, we got a blood family, but we got a family under God everywhere. So we don't even need to stress about that.
Let me insert for those who are listening around the world. We live in the same city, so that's why we popped up and rolled up to the house. If you live 6 hours away, I will not pull up on you, okay? But yeah, we'll call, we'll Zoom. So let me ask you this, because you said more people should get an education and they're missing out. A lot of people get stuck like investing for this type of help, or maybe they don't see the benefit. How did you guys navigate investing for someone to help you get educated? Like, how did you navigate that or decide that it was worth doing?
Discernment.
Mm.
I mean, like I said, we were led by the Lord, and then that situation where your mom ran up to us, I'm like, there you go. There you go. I mean, we're nervous about it at first. I mean, yeah, everybody has nervous. I mean, everybody's nervous. I mean, that shows that you care about it.
Mm.
So you have to embrace the nervousness and be courage and be courageous and go through it. It's going to lead you to an awesome ending.
That is so interesting. I love what you said. I never thought about it like that. The reason why you're nervous is because it's something that you care about. And I wish that every person who is nervous would just really think about that. Like, what happens if you never like take that step to learn things that you think maybe you know everything and maybe you don't, or maybe it's not even information. It's just being in the community, meeting the different people. Like that's so interesting. I never thought about it like that. Like being nervous to pull the plug because there's so many reasons. Well, what if I don't get pregnant? What if, you know, what if I don't like her? I don't know, whatever people might be thinking. But I think that's really good. You're nervous about something because you care about it. So it's natural to be nervous to make a financial decision like that, to invest in the education so that you know that I'm not leaving anything on the table. I'm doing every possible thing that I need to do to have myself in alignment. And I love that. Thank you for sharing that.
Colleges, they look to make you money and everything, but this is the education of the family, which that's missing. So this helps you on pre-pregnancy, and then you've got friends afterwards that's going through the same thing that you can cling to. You can talk, call up, you know what I need, whatever. I mean, shoot, just make you have a new family.
Yeah,
walk in into a new family.
I love that. Yes. I love to hear when, you know, people are making friends and exchanging numbers and hanging out. I just love to hear that. It just warms my heart because I feel like when I was trying to get pregnant, like I didn't have women of faith, women of color who were also married, who were also, you know, well, we have clients from their 20s to their 40s, like all different ages. But like, I just feel like, you know, I wanted to be what I wish I would have had. And so now to see the other side of so many women and couples who were able to get pregnant from this community, it's so much. I love that. Okay, thank you for saying that. So can you think of anything in particular that you or Robin did that you feel like, okay, if I would have never did this, I don't know, like this was one of the biggest switches or changes or things that I had to shift. Can you think of anything like that that stands out to you?
No. Oh, I wouldn't change a thing. Because if you were to go back and change it, you would get the lesson that we know now.
What do you think are some of the things that you shifted in your own like daily disciplines, whether it be you or Robin, that helped you to get pregnant?
Well, I know for me, I had a problem with procrastination, and that was one thing I had to deal with, procrastination and patience. And so that's what I've been praying for, and that's what I've been going through, because it's not easy. I mean, when you ask God to have patience, he going to give you a long situation. For procrastination, he going to put the work in front of you, and you have that choice to make. If you want to do it or not. I mean, probably was on the phone right now. I mean, at least she was on the phone right now because you can say her part. But I know patience and procrastination, yeah, I'm killing that now because I thought about it when I was in the hospital and I told her, I said, I don't ever want to be in this situation again. And I was already starting off slow, building my own passive income to where you don't have to work a job no more. We work for ourselves, but now I'm more focused and I'm not waiting no more. We about to win.
I know that's right.
I want you to show me how to win. So it's just time to aim the dog on stack a rifle and get tart.
Yes, I love that. Yeah, I think how things are set up financially, that's a whole level of stress that changes everything. You said patience. I think that's really good because trying to get pregnant is one of the biggest tests of patience I believe there is, especially when you look at it like, okay, this is something that other people do on accident why does it take all of this for us and all these changes for us to be able to get pregnant? I know one of the things that I remember me and Robin laughed about that she did tell me one of the things that she gave up. And I don't know if Robin is still on where she wants to chime in anything that she did different. But what is one food that your wife gave up? What did she stop eating?
She gave the chicken for a while.
Yes, I remember when she was like early in pregnancy, she was like, can I eat chicken again? I've been craving it. Can I have it again? And so I was like, girl, you're pregnant now. Go on and eat the chicken. Go ahead and eat the chicken. But I think one of those things were with PCOS, I believe. She had PCOS and blood pressure, the history of thyroid. I'm trying to think what else it was. I think that's it. And so a lot of times with PCOS, with there possibly being an estrogen dominance or progesterone being low, I recommend most times for people to make sure that they consider eliminating high estrogen foods, and chicken was one of them. So one of the guys want to know, and you tell me if you're comfortable sharing, was male factor an issue for you all? Like, what, semen quality count, anything like that?
No. I mean, they did tests for that in IVF, but we were good.
So one of the people were asking if you had to adjust your diet at all or anything that helped you, or did you, some of the changes that she made, did you make any of the changes as well?
Yeah, I stopped eating chicken too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I started thinking. I was like, well, you know what? If she had stopped eating chicken, I'm going to have to start giving this rich people food. I'm gonna start eating beef and steak.
You know what? It's so funny. I was just talking with someone the other day, and I was like, man. So I had went over a year without chicken, and I ate some again, like, last month. And I was like, man. I mean, this is just so much less expensive. Like you said, steak and shrimp and salmon, that adds up. But one thing that you just said that really stood out is whatever changes she had to make, you joined on with her. And that's another way that you supported her. Because, I mean, how would it look if you were eating Bojangles in her face and she's trying not to have it? Yeah, so I love that. Thank you. For giving that perspective. Let's see. I think I have one last thing. What advice, and we kind of covered this a little bit, but just to wrap it up, what advice would you give to any other couple that is considering doing fertility coaching with me based on your experience? What advice would you give them?
Ask the questions that they have, because you have a coach for a reason and you're experienced on a lot. And I know you had some people come in, and I remember about the chicken lady. She had a class and everything, and we went through that, and that's why she made that choice. But you have a whole lot of references and resources. So if you're in this, don't just sit here and take it, but go for more. Get your questions answered. Let the curiosity flow. This is the best place to have your curiosity flow, because she may not have all the answers, but she may know somebody with the answers. Or another couple may know the answer.
That's a really good point, because so many people have been through different journeys, and you may find another couple who has a very similar journey who can speak to your specific experience. And like you said, I done Googled, research, take the classes. I've done like probably every question. I rarely get a question that I have never heard. Rarely typically get a question that I've never heard. And if I haven't heard it, I'm like, hey, let me look into that some more for you based on your situation. But yeah, that's why I think so many more couples can be successful, like you all were, just coming with an open mind, ready to receive education, and then, like you said, take the action and then ask the questions, show up to the calls. I think that is really great. So thank you so much, Antonio, and Robin, shout out to you as well. I know she's not on here, but thank you so much for sharing your story, We are so excited about Kenya Faith and continuing to keep her in prayer and continue to keep Robin and Antonio in prayer as well as you're navigating this difficult time, but blessed time at the same time. What God has brought you to and brought you through. And I just thank God for the opportunity to meet you all and just be a part of your lives and be a part of your village. So if anyone else, if you are looking for your breakthrough and you are ready and you want to know, God, where is my baby? I want you to go and register for my complimentary masterclass, the God, Where Is My Baby Masterclass. You can go to the link in the podcast notes, or you can go to GodWhereIsMyBaby.com where you can register. And I will walk you through all of the different areas that we address to help you get pregnant faster. Okay, that's complimentary registration at GodWhereIsMyBaby.com or the link that is in the show notes. Thank you guys for another week, and I will see you next time.